Well, the sermon title today is Today's Challenges, Tomorrow's Assignments. I don't know if you realize this, but everything we experience in our lives is used by God to further our ability to serve Him. If we're responding right, that is true. One's response to that thought can vary. It can vary, but we need to know this, that God isn't about wasting our time or His time with meaningless pain, hardship, or suffering in our lives. Now, He desires to grow us through the difficult, bumpy roads with this purpose of making us more like our Master in a better place than we've ever been able to serve Him as we've never been able to serve before. One of the New Testament promises we have is found in Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We have that knowledge. We know this to be true. So before we get into David and the battle with Goliath, and I've kind of jumped in the middle of the story here, there's some truths that are helpful in understanding how this event played out. How did a teenage shepherd excel in his conviction and courage beyond the entire military force of Israel who were assembled to take on a pagan warrior? How did he get to that place? How did this young man talk the king of Israel into letting him take on that giant with the tools of a shepherd boy? Furthermore, why would David risk his own life and that of the nation against incredible odds in desiring and agreeing to fight Goliath? Why would he do that? I personally want to know how he got to that point. And so before next week, this week, we're in the middle of this, and there's a few verses here that I think can help answer those questions. Now, it's doubtful that anyone here this morning would say, I really don't want to grow in the Lord. I think each of us desire that our walk with the Lord would deepen and our faith in God would increase. I believe that each of us would want to be used by God for His purposes to our full potential. But I think the other thing we have to ask is, yeah, if that's true, and I think it is, how many of us are willing to go through the pain that it takes, the training that it takes, the circumstances it takes to get to where we need to be before the Lord? And here's what I see in this text today. I see an exercise of faith and walk by faith that God has set, that David has as he seeks the Lord. Really, it comes down to this. Today's challenges are simply preparation for God, or by God, for future assignments that He has for each of us. First observation I want to make, and it's in your outline, is David's God wasn't limited. David's God wasn't limited by human ability or human perspective. Verses 31 to 33, let me read those again to you. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told him to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth while he has been a warrior from his youth. David's God wasn't limited by human ability or human perspective. Now, the assessment of the situation by David amazes me. Everyone sees it one way. He, of all the men there, sees it a different way. We're not told the size of Israel's army. I believe it had to be in the thousands. But David's perspective, you see it in verse 31. The words which David spoke were heard. They told him to Saul, and he sent for him. That's part of it. The other part is what he says to Saul. In verse 32, let no man's heart fail on account of him. That's on account of Goliath, your servant. I will go and fight with this Philistine. There was something about the way David was speaking. He'd been gone, in the previous verses tell us he was back and forth with the men. His brothers were there, two of his older brothers. He's hearing what's going on. He's asking questions. For Samuel 17:26 said this, and David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done? What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine, takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Those words from a shepherd boy, youngest of the family. He gets on the scene. He begins to ask questions. He's thinking, what is going on here? This is a pagan. This is an ungodly man. We are the children of the living God. How is it that we are in such a place as this? So it was something about what David was saying. It was striking the hearts of the men, and they took him to Saul. It arrested the hearts of those who heard him. And it was told to King Saul, who was there. Saul sent for David. And notice David's opening line. I love this. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. What David observed in his interaction with the army of Israel was stunning to him. He observed men gripped in fear. Notice in this chapter, verse 11, when Saul and Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Goliath came up. By the time David gets there, 40 days in a row, he comes out. They're in a huge valley, separates these armies. And Goliath calls out, send me a man to fight. And God's people trembled at that. Verse 24, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, were greatly afraid. David heard of this. He knew of this. And it just took him back. What he observed in his interaction was men paralyzed by fear. Day after day, morning after morning, night after night, this giant imposed his will on the army of the living God. He insulted them. He mocked them. He mocked God. There's something about fear, isn't it? Fear is amazing. It paralyzes. It mocks. It incapacitates us. It keeps us from acting as we ought and doing what we need to be doing. These soldiers cowered in fear. And the king, who is with them, who's over them, he's bound up in it as well. David's words should resonate in our own hearts. Let no man's heart fail on account of him. I've had to ask myself, where would I have been in my heart that day? Would I have had the perspective that David did, or would I have had the perspective of his brothers and the king? Where do you think you would have been on that day? Do you wonder if you would have stood strong for the glory of the Lord, or would you have been with the thousands who were afraid? Our Lord's words to us, they resonate in so many ways. 47 times in the New American Standard Bible, do not be afraid. Do not fear. David's God wasn't limited by human ability or perspective. No one needs to be afraid is what David believed. David also said this, I'll go. I will go and fight that Philistine. Verse 32, look at it there. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight. I will do it. Now, no one to this point, for the last month and 10 days that these armies have assembled, was willing to do that. Not a man. Not a man there. Not a man among all of God's people said, I'll be that guy. David says this, I'm your servant. And your servant will go. Now, David is willing, against all odds, to do what needs to be done. We're not told if he had any reservation deep down inside, any hesitation, any flutter of fear in his heart. We're not told that. Perhaps his willingness, his lack of fear, is based on something that happened earlier in his life. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, the prophet Samuel, we were in that scripture from 1 Samuel 16, the prophet Samuel did something to the youngest boy of Jesse's boys. Remember what that was? He anointed him king of Israel. Samuel took the horn of oil for Samuel 16:13, anointed him in the midst of of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward, Samuel rose and went to Ramah. That new king was none other than David. David is not the king of Israel at this point, but it's coming. I've wondered if David went back to that day. I mean, there's some things certainly that lead him to this point. To saying, I'm the guy, I'll go. No one else will go, I'll go. But I think this was one of those keys. Is God has set me aside. In the future, I'm going to be the king of Israel. I will reign. If that's true, and it is, what is this giant? Nothing. I'll go and fight against the Philistine. You'll notice King Saul has a reaction to that. Look at verse 33. King Saul's looking at a skinny young shepherd boy. And no fighting ability on the military field. Never that we know of. He's been hanging out with sheep. And verse 33 says this, Then Saul said to David, You are not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. Well, he's been a warrior from his youth. David, you're crazy. King Saul's words are in striking contrast to what David believed and what he said. They're words that would deter most men. Well, it says the king, he's looking at me, he knows a bit about military, about fighting. I think he does. I think, you know, it's Saul's word, David, I love your zeal, but you can't possibly think this would work. What Saul didn't understand is this about David. David wasn't relying upon himself, but on what he had seen God do through him and on the word of God. David's life was a testimony of God's power working in the life of someone yielded to him. That's what his was. Ours should be no less. Here's where we need courage in God and his word. Because it is how we see God that determines so often how we do life. Let us remember he is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Secondly, in your outline there, you'll see a note in your bulletin, on the back of the bulletin. David's courage was forged in experience and faith. David's courage was forged in experience and faith. So what made David, at this point, the man he was? Why would he volunteer to take on a giant when all others kept their tail between their legs? What was the key to this? Look at verse 34. Now, Saul has just said to him, David, you're crazy. You're not able. This is an impossible situation. Appreciate your zeal, but listen, I know a thing or two, and there's no way. There's 34. Verse 34 says, But David said to Saul, I love what he does here. He doesn't say, oh, all right, I'm going to go back home. David insists. He says to Saul, Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Experience. Now, there's no logical way to explain what David testifies to doing here. A lion and a bear. The picture he draws is one of tremendous strength, speed, quickness, and courage. I love to archery hunt bear. There are people that think I'm crazy to archery hunt bear and not take a gun as protection with me. Maybe I am crazy. This is nothing. And that's nothing compared to what David's talking about here. And David says to Saul, Here's my resume. Here it is. I haven't been on the battlefield, but I know something about my God. I don't know if you know what God empowered me to do, Saul. I think in David's heart, this giant was nothing compared to a lion or a bear. David can look back on his experience with God and say this, He, God, is capable where I fail, able where I am not, and nothing is impossible for Him. He's brought me to this moment. He'll see me through it. We need to be men and women who take a peek back. We need to be men and women who take a peek back at what God has done in the past as we approach what we need from Him today and in the future. I think it is so valuable. So valuable. To look back and see, when was it that I came to faith in Christ? How was it that God got me and my wife and my family and my children through this and this and this? And look back and see what God has done. So, so helpful. So are you in Christ? Do you know Him? If so, He's done something miraculous and incredible. He's released you from the wages of your sin. He set you free. He seated you in the heavenlies. He's with you. He'll never forsake you. A couple verses that are so helpful to me. Romans 8:32, and in this section, it's just speaking of the greatness of Christ and and what we have in Him and the security that eighth chapter is amazing. The security we have in Him. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all. The truth here is that God sent His Son for you and I. He delivered Him over for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? How will He not take care of us? If He did that, and He did, how good is He? How capable is He? How much does He care? And then you get to 37. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. That is what we have in Christ. We are more than conquerors. He's given us all things. I love overwhelmingly conquer. It means victory with room to spare. It's so beautiful. It's so good. David looked back. His courage was forged in experience and faith. And he speaks of his experience in verse 34. His conviction in verse 35 is seen. I went out after Him. He's relaying this to Saul. It was a bear or a lion. I went out after Him and attacked Him and rescued it from the lamb from its mouth. And when He rose up against me, I seized Him by the beard, struck Him and killed Him. Conviction. We don't know the details of this situation other than what's given here. It's beyond my imagination. David wasn't carrying the weapons that men do in our common day and they are at our disposal. He didn't have bear spray or a .44 Magnum on his hip. We're not told his weapon of choice with the lion or the bear, but he was really good with a sling. We'll find that out later. I can picture him grabbing that lion by his mane, putting a knife to his throat, but regardless of how it happened, David says to the king, I'm not afraid. I'll go. I'm not afraid of that giant. I'll go out. I'll fight him right here, right now, this day. And you'll notice the decisiveness that's there as well. David says, I went out. In verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he's taunted the armies of the living God. David was a shepherd. He was very decisive. When no one was looking, in that solitude, he went out. Shepherding is done most of the time in solitude. I don't think it has ever been a job of prominence or highly sought. But it was a job that David was dedicated to and excelled at. It prepped him for things to come. David looked out one day and there was a lion with a lamb in its mouth. I think I would have said, lion's got to eat too, right? What was his response? It was immediate. I went out after him. He'd already played this scenario out in his mind. He knew what he was going to do. He needed to retrieve that lamb, so that's what he did. The lion lay dead. He carries the lamb back to the flock, both a testimony to the power of God and the decision that David made. David's assignment from his father was to tend the sheep, and that's exactly what he did. He did this with solitude, in solitude, with integrity, most likely when no one but God was looking on. As a shepherd, His task was to care for the flock, to protect it. He was willing. He willingly laid down his life for those sheep. Verse 37 says this, "The Lord rescued me." Look at this, verse 37. David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David says, "It wasn't me. The Lord rescued me. He delivered me. He's the one." God took notice. God took notice. David did this in obscurity, with courage and integrity, but God saw it. You may think, as you look at this text, man, that's a crazy thing. I'm glad I don't have a job like that. Or you may say, I've got a job kind of like that. Well, this is what God's word is to us, for all of us. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance of the Lord Christ, whom you serve. We are to do our work passionately. We're to labor as if we were doing it for Christ, because we are. So whatever task God has given us, whether it's done before the world, before the community, an individual, or when no one is looking, whatever it is to be done unto the Lord. David was a songwriter, as you know that. What's the most familiar psalm in all the Bible, would you think? Yeah, I think it's 23 as well, Psalm 23. It's a shepherd's psalm, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. He writes from that sheep-shepherd relationship. And that psalm has touched a lot of lives, and I think David could write like no one could in that psalm. In David's song, we see the shepherd for sure. And when we get to the Gospel of John, John writes about a good shepherd who laid his life down for the sheep. John 10:11-15, "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Amen? And he did. Amen. "He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees a wolf coming, leaves a sheep, flees, and a wolf snatches them and scatters them." He flees because he's a hired hand. Is not concerned about the sheep. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus says, "I care about the sheep. I know them." Later on, he says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Do you know the good shepherd? He alone is the one who gives eternal life. What a great shepherd. He not only gives eternal life, but he's right there with us as we walk through this life. He came to give life and life more abundant. Does he ever do that? Lastly, I want to just finish up with this confidence that David had. Again, verse 37, David says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear." This is what he's done in the past. Notice where he goes with it. "He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Confidence. He will deliver me. He has, he will. It's built on the challenges that God had set before him and how he'd seen God work. The Lord took him through those obstacles. It shaped him for his next assignment. That bear and that lion did. He's got a giant standing before him. Taking on Goliath would prepare him for the challenges ahead as he led the nation, Israel, with a heart for God. What about us? We can have confidence in the Lord that he'll carry us through every storm and battle we face, can we not? There's a few verses that I want to share with you that are just such an encouragement to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. David could have wrote this. "Faithful is he who calls you. He also will bring it to pass." God's faithful. He'll carry you along to whatever he set before you. You know, this past year, maybe there's, as you look at it, as you look at your life, you're just like, wow, incredible year. How challenging. How difficult. I've been stretched like never before. Someone was with you. Someone was carrying you along. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have before Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't it sweet? We can take our difficulty, our situation before God and know that He hears us. Casting your care on Him, for He cares for you. He's faithful. He hears us. He's maturing us. He's going to see us through right to the end. Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, and I hope each of you are, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Huh. What a great shepherd we have. What a great God. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens me. Perhaps God has given this passage to help us to train or retrain our thinking. What David witnessed was a situation that had gotten out of control by fear. There's no good reason for Saul and his army to cower the way they did, to not act, to not go out in the strength of the Lord. I'd like to say it lays there and it's never touched my life. That would not be true. I think you need this text. I think I do as well. I had to consider this week as for myself, when God says I'm more than a conqueror, do I really believe that? You know, day after day, Goliath came up day after day, morning, night, shouting, taunting the armies of the living God. But day after day, we face a similar battle, do we not? The enemy shouts to us in various ways. There's no hope. You're a loser with a capital L. There's no way through this, and you're bound to fail. We need to counter that with truth. We need to counter it with truth. We are the children of the living God, are we not? We are. He is for us, is He not? He is for us. He's never failed us, has He? No. He won't start now. That's what I want you to take into this week. I want to back this statement up with James, the first chapter, but today's challenges are preparation for future assignments. Turn over to James, the first chapter. It's right after the book of Hebrews. It's a scripture I think you guys are very familiar with. Perhaps not. It says this, James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing, so there's the attitude we're to have in verse 2. Here's the deal, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Challenges, difficulties, painful situations, their preparation for future assignments. There's redeeming quality for the believer here. And I give Him praise for that. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how You lay out before us that which is so helpful, that which speaks to the heart. I pray that You would minister it to each of us right where we're at in this moment. Give us courage. Give us conviction. Allow us to act decisively when things come up for act decisively with the right response for Your glory. And Father, we just yield to You. Take us, use us as You please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you. You're dismissed.